I want you to hear from me that if you, I like that. That's a good solution. I can see your face. Yeah, I like that. Sorry, I got distracted because I turned because I wanted to see them. Okay, so if you are in a relationship and you currently, there is no shame in that. If you are talking to someone and you are snapping someone because you have interest in them, there's no shame in that. This is not going to be a talk about how everyone needs to live their life single. However, if you are in a relationship, the truth is that relationship could end and you might find yourself single, okay? And so what I'm saying is this, just because this isn't, you might be in a relationship, don't be like, I'm zoning out and not listening to Matthew and Amanda because this does not pertain to me. Because there are different seasons in life, okay? And if you find yourself single today, how can you see this time of being single not as a negative thing, but as a time to lean into who God's asking you to be? Last week we went over ground rules, which I think should be just our ground rules all the time, but I'm going to review them for you. Respect. That you, even though you have different opinions about something, that you can be respectful in discussing your differences. And number two is confidentiality. Whatever happens and is said in that time, that you not go share it with your friends outside of the group tonight.
Do you suffer from missing out on things? Or the fear of missing out on things? FOMO? Do you suffer from FOMO? Because I sure do. I've suffered with it my whole life. Sometimes I would go to, and if I'm honest, I still do, go to extreme lengths to make sure that I didn't miss out on anything. Fun fact, the first time I stayed up all night was because I was having FOMO. There was nothing to miss out on. I just was so afraid of missing out, so I stayed up all night. I thought that if I missed out on something, that my life would be ruined. And sometimes missing out on something isn't just an experience. It's missing out on something that gives us identity or value or that feeling of completeness. Growing up, one thing that I was really afraid of missing out on was marriage. I used to pray, okay, God, don't come back yet, not until I have a chance to get married. I had this inaccurate belief that if I didn't get married or if I wasn't in a relationship, I was missing out on something essential to be human, that I wasn't complete, that I was missing something in my value. This is a message that some parts of culture also tell us. Culture says we aren't complete or we haven't fully experienced life until we are married. Our whole goal in life should be to have a spouse, 2.5 kids, white picket fence, dog in the front yard, the whole nine yards. Culture also says that your value is linked to your relationship status, that we look to someone else to validate our worth, that when we are in a relationship, we can be like, yes, I know that I am loved because I have somebody else who loves me, that somebody else that thinks I'm valuable. But the truth is, even if you get married, that piece that is looking for value will never fully be satisfied or met by another person. Being connected with others, whether it's in friendships or marriage, is good. But those relationships were never meant to carry the weight of your value. In fact, they can't. They will eventually fail us. So what do we do? Well, like all things in life, let's see what the Bible says. I'm going to open up to 1 Corinthians 7. It'll be on the screen. You can follow me if you want. 1 Corinthians is written by this guy named Paul. We've talked about him before. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And in 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking about marriage and he's giving instructions and marriage advice. And in the midst of him talking about marriage, he drops this surprising statement. He says that singleness is not a problem to fix. It's a gift. He explains that both marriage and singleness are good things. Both are good options for life, but neither is better or more valuable than the other. They're different. And then he goes on to say this in verse 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. The unmarried person, the single person, is able to devote themselves to the Lord. But the married person has divided attention. They have to care for their spouse and their family, which, to be clear, is a good thing. That's not wrong. But it means that their attention is divided. A single person has freedom, freedom in their relationship with God. Paul even says that he wishes that more people could experience that freedom like he does, because he's single. Now, it's important to note that in verse 28, he says, it is not a sin to get married. It's good. So what does all this say about marriage and singleness? Marriage is good. Singleness is good. Both are good options. And marriage comes with its positives and negatives. Singleness comes with its positives and negatives. Paul is not ranking people on based on their whether they're married or not. He's just describing options. And here's what I want you to know from all of this. We are not missing out if you are single. Paul was single. He didn't think he was missing anything. Jesus never got married, and he's probably the only, not probably, he is the only person that ever really experienced the fullness of life. So singleness is not a problem, and marriage is not the end goal of our lives.
So no matter what season you find yourself in, the goal is to thrive and not survive. What does it look like to live your life honoring God when you're single? And I think of these plants. This plant, if you look at the bottom, is completely rooted in soil. These roots are so strong that they keep up this plant, that this plant is getting nourishment from this soil to survive and thrive. It even has buds on it. Unlike these cut flowers, if you look at the bottom of these cut flowers, they have no roots. They are literally, without this vase or each other, they're going to flop. They're going to sit on my counter, and the only nourishment they're getting is water. And in a week, they're going to be floppy and dead. They are not going to survive. Which of these do you think would last longer if I put them outside in the elements of wind, rain, snow? These roots actually allow this plant to thrive. It's stable. These, the lack of roots, they're going to die. If I poured water on this, this would still be a nice plant. It might be a little squished, but it would still be there. These things would be literally like flopped over, nothing. And humans are the same way. We need to root ourselves in God and not on other things like relationships, popularity, and sports. When we try to attach our worth, our identity, and our stability, like last week we talked about that, into relationships, before we root ourselves in God, we become fragile like these cut flowers. And this imagery kept coming to me, and you can find it in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. It's page 645 in the Yellow Bibles. I'll give you a second if you want to. Otherwise, it's on the screen. It says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree rooted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So being rooted in God means that we trust him with who we are and how to live. It means that we're close and we're connected with him. Deeply rooted actually isn't about doing anything. It's about attuning our hearts to him. It's about being close to him and connected to God. It's seeing our worth, our value, and our identity created in his image like we talked about last week. It's not seeking the approval of others to be seen and heard, but by seeking that approval from God. It means sharing all your feelings, even if you're mad about being single with him. It means you're not lacking or anything if you're not married or dating. A person who's rooted in God doesn't need constant validation from another human because they have all the nourishment they need. It doesn't chase attention because they are seen and heard by God first. And the greatest thing is when you're rooted in God, no matter if you're in a relationship or not, you get to be you, with or without that relationship. Your value is not in your relationship status with other humans, it's in God. And in these verses, they continue to say, the tree doesn't worry about its future. It doesn't worry if it doesn't get rain because it knows that it's good. We don't have to worry about our future of marriage or single because God will provide for your needs without another human being. Being rooted in God means that instead of asking who likes me, you're actually asking the question of who am I becoming? Being nourished in God is about having peace and contentment with yourself and where God has put you at this time.
I really like that idea of becoming, because we are always becoming something. I had a high school coach who would talk about that often. He even wrote a book about it, The Power of Becoming. We are always becoming something, and the choice for us is what are we going to choose to become? And when we're rooted in God, we actually give him the power to shape us. We talked about how in 1 Corinthians 7, it talked about how it's good for us to be single because then we experience a freedom in devoting ourselves to God. It's more difficult if you're married to have that relationship. Both married and single people can be rooted and fully devoted to God, but there is a unique opportunity when we're single. While we're single, in that freedom, it is a great time to become someone that you would want to be in a relationship with someday, whether you get married or not. It's this opportunity to think about who is the person that I'm becoming. And as we're becoming, there are some things for us to think about to engage in healthy relationships, both romantic relationships and friendships. How are we becoming a person with the maturity to handle deeper connections with others? How are we becoming a person who can understand the value of commitment? How are we becoming a person who can prioritize the needs of someone else over our own? To become that type of person means that we have to be rooted in God and allow him to produce something in us. Jeremiah 17:8 said that the tree that is rooted never fails to bear fruit. When we are connected to him, he produces fruit in us. And the great thing about the Bible being God's word is that when he uses a metaphor in one part of the Bible, he can pick it up again in a different place to carry on the same idea. One place that he grabs that idea of producing fruit is in Galatians 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't the only type of fruit that is produced in our lives. This is an expression of what it can look like. I'm going to read this for you. Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the fruits that God is producing in us. So how do we let these fruits impact how we relate to others? Well, I would group each of these fruits into three different groups. The first is about posture, love, kindness, gentleness. These shape how we treat people. They're the outward posture of our hearts. Love means that we will choose the other person's needs over our own. Kindness is treating others with care and compassion. Gentleness means that we don't deal harshly with other people. The second group is emotional health, joy, peace, patience. Joy is means that our happiness is not dependent upon other people. Peace means that we are calm. Patience means that we give people room to make mistakes and grow. And the third group is about our character. Faithfulness, goodness, self-control. These are how we act, how we choose to interact with the world. Faithfulness is means that we are committed. Goodness means that we choose what is right, even when it's the hard thing to do. And self-control means that we don't let our desires or our emotions run our lives. These are the kinds of traits that God grows in us, that he produces in us to make us emotionally healthy and relationally safe. And if we're serious about following Jesus' commands in our memory verse, Mark 12:30-31, love God, love others. If we're serious about following his commands to love our neighbors, these fruits are going to be the characteristics of, these are going to be, oh goodness, these fruits will characterize our interactions with other people. The fruits of the Spirit are how, what love looks like in real life.
So, we've talked about that being single is good. We've talked about being married is good. We've talked about being rooted and growing in God. And then I have this question that I really want us to think about. How do we actually live this out? Because when you're single, you can feel like you're on an island by yourself and you're going to live by yourself the rest of your life and you're going to be lonely. Which is not true. But, so, we came up with three things that we think that would help us to live rooted and be connected with others. Because the idea is, we don't want to be alone. That's the fear of being single. And so number one is deep friendships. Just because you're not married or dating or talking to someone does not mean that you cannot have intimate relationships. And you're like, intimate? Excuse me? Intimate does not mean dating or having sex. It means that you are close or connected with someone. So there's a variety of ways to do that. Number one is physically. Showing physical affection to each other, which is sometimes more uncomfortable for boys than girls. But I have a friend who loves to hug. She hugs me so tight that she cracks my back at times because she loves physical touch. Maybe playing with hair. Some people hold hands. Emotional intimacy, this idea of sharing deep feelings or personal things with each other. Maybe writing a text or a card and being like, hey, I really appreciate you. Then the idea of experiential intimacy, which means you have an experience together. Your group together goes and does an escape room. Your group together goes and is a part of a sports group. Maybe you go on an adventure together. Maybe you go to a movie. It's the idea of experiencing something together, and you get close and connected over that thing. Then the idea of spiritual intimacy, sharing what God's doing in your life or where you've seen him with each other. Hey, I heard this at church, and it really spoke to me. I think God wants me to do this. Going on a mission trip can be both experiential and spiritual, just saying. And I do know that there is a community in Minneapolis of people who choose to be celibate, which means they choose not to have sex, but they're boys and they're girls and they live in one house. They share a house because they know that right now they want to be single, and that's what God's called them to do. And so they share a house and they live like a family. They eat lunch together. They talk about their day. They make a commitment that I'm not going to go move or change jobs until I've talked with the people in my family. So just because we don't like, we're like, whoa, that seems weird because we don't know that. But that exists so that you can live connected with other people and not be by yourself or be lonely. And to live this out leads me to number two, healthy boundaries. And when I think of healthy boundaries, I think of my dogs. We have a box that gives a boundary. It's a radius. A boundary is a limit. It's a line that says, if you go out of here, it could be unsafe. So the limit is this radius and it keeps my dog safe. We need to create those own boundaries for ourselves. It's how do I keep within my boundaries my time, my heart, my mind. Boundaries help us guard from giving too much time, heart, or body. They're our protection for us. It means we guard ourselves from things that aren't healthy. And number three is being a part of a community. This can look like so many things. Maybe it's being a part of a community where you go and you serve at a place. Maybe you get to learn that you like loving on dogs. Maybe you get to learn about the skills and the passions that you have in a unique way. But there's one thing I do want to say about community. There's so many communities. You could be a part of a sports community. You could be a theater community. You could be, there's a bazillion communities because we are meant to live together. But I would say that there's one unique community that will help you to be rooted at all times, and that is church. Whether that's now, whether that's in the future, whether that's this space or on a Sunday morning at a different church, a church community is going to help you be rooted and going to help you be a part of who God wants you to be.
So this is how we're going to end. We have a question for you to sit with and ponder. You can journal, you can sit and think. This is a time to be quiet and focused. And here's the question. Based on everything that we've talked about tonight, what is one thing that you think God wants you to know about being rooted in Him? Would you pray with me? God, you are good. You love us so completely. You have called us into deep relationship with you, to be rooted in you. Would you show us how we do that, how we can live into you, how our value can be rooted in who you call us to be, who you have created us to be. And as we're rooted in you, would you produce the fruits of your Spirit in us? Would we be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Would they invade how we interact with others? Would they be characteristics of how we love others? And as we head to small group, would you come with us? Would you be present in our discussion? Would you be present in our relationships? Would you help us learn to love you more and to love each other more? We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, head to your small groups.